few months ago, we had a series on the Lord's Prayer. So we went through that. And on Father's Day, we talked about God being a good father, growing in grace. We're gonna take that relationship that we have with God. We're going to look at it. I invite you, please, with the bullets in your bulletins, there's an outline. Let's go through this and take a look at the different points that are in there. This is a major juncture. This is a major, kind of like the highlight of this epistle to the Colossians that Paul wrote. This is where the theologians tend to think that he's really getting to his thesis statement. He's getting to his point. There's a Lutheran theologian called Lenski, and Lenski had a really good point that he brought out. He noticed that in this text, right at the beginning on the top of the outline, you'll notice that the Apostle Paul was inspired to say Jesus Christ as Lord. He uses all the full title of who Christ is. He's the Messiah, he's the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and he's a person. He's a person, he's Jesus. He's the God-man. Now, talk deeply then, let's get into faith. Faith and trust. Very, very common words. How many times do you hear faith? You're like, just have faith, just believe, just trust. These are so common, brutally hard to define, very difficult. But this morning, I want to venture into this definition to understand it. Let's look at what strong faith is. Let's look at what weak faith is. And I have a working definition that I've thought of. This is a working definition that I have, not perfect, and but it helps me. So let me just share it with you. Faith is basing my life on the truth that God is who he says that he is and that he will do what he promised to do in Christ. So that's kind of my thoughts, and it's not from me alone. You know, a lot of people have said similar statements, so that's what I'm thinking. But before we can talk about building a strong faith, it's good to reflect on weak faith. In the text that you have here, actually, on the back of your bulletins, you see the fuller section from Colossians. On verse 8, he gets into a topic about weak faith, about being taken captive. And that made me think, you know, what does he mean by that? He says that he doesn't want us to be so weak that we would be taken captive. And obviously, he's not talking about physical captivity. He's using, it's a figurative use of a word here that means actually be taken as booty in war, to be taken captive in war. And he's using it in a way that he's telling us we could actually become taken captive in this spiritual battle that's going on. And you know, how is that possible? I mean, I thought about that. What would my attitude be? He lists some things there. He lists philosophies. He says there's philosophies of the world, empty deceit, human traditions, elemental spirits of the world. What would it be if I was taken captive by one of those things? And I put three blanks there in your outline that came to mind. You know, one, I would have a lack of interest. I would have just a general lack of interest. The truth is that some people really don't care. They just don't care about God. Apathetic. And you know, people will say things, they'll say, well, you know, if it works for you, that's great. I'm glad that you found faith. It doesn't really work for me. And you know, I prayed, but God didn't really answer my prayers. And you know, people will say, well, hey, isn't it okay? Isn't it enough just to go to church on Sunday or once or twice a year? And besides, I really don't get all this faith stuff anyway. It just doesn't seem to make sense to me. You know, and lack of interest in what God has said makes my faith weak. So verse 6 is talking about being rooted. And you know, the truth is there's really no way around this. There's really no way around this at all. Our roots have to grow deep. And our faith actually grows in proportion to how deep our roots are. A pine tree When a pine tree grows, we have a big pine tree in our front yard, and the pine tree's root, its tap root, will be in proportion to how high it is on the surface. And if it's huge on the surface, it has a tap root that's gone down, right down into the ground. Anybody ever grown a bonsai tree? Bonsai trees are interesting because what happens is after they sprout and they begin to grow, they take it out and they tie the root. So the taproot can't grow, because otherwise the tree could get huge. And because the taproot is tied, it's not able to grow, and the tree never reaches its potential that it was meant to be. It stays miniature. It stays smaller. And you know, the thing is our roots have to grow deeper, and the deeper that they grow, we find more comfort. We find a deeper blessing, sense of God's presence, His assurance in our life. We're drawn closer to Him, as we saw in the video earlier. It is so true. It's just the way that God has made it. And you know, the other thing that is really affects my faith, makes me weak, are our poor lifestyle and morality choices. I mean, think about this. This is interesting thought. That our choices that we make can have an impact on our faith. When we make a bad choice, when I make a bad choice and I do something wrong, I feel guilty. It's just how it works. When I do that which I don't want to do and I do a bad thing, I feel guilty about it. And that's just the way God has made us. That guilt is there. And from what I can see, there's a couple ways that we can get rid of guilt. One way to get rid of guilt is to change our actions. We actually change our behavior. And we have a technical word in Christianity that we use. It's called repent. You probably heard that word. And repent is not some guy who hasn't taken a bath or shaven or looks spooky on a street corner yelling at you or something like that. It just simply means to turn around and go the other way. And it's a work that God does where God taps on our shoulders and He says, hey, how's this working out for you? And you say, well, not too good. I need your forgiveness. I need your grace. Lead me in another direction, Lord. And that's repentance. And you know, we do that in church. We come and we confess our sins. We ask God to forgive us. And we receive forgiveness. That's real forgiveness that we receive. And it's repentance. It's turning around and going the other way. Another way that I've noticed that people do this is rather than change your behavior, you change your beliefs. You change what you believe. And an interesting thing happens. When you change what you believe, guilt goes away. If you change what you believe about something, if I change what I believe about something being right or wrong, I don't have to deal with guilt anymore, and I don't have to change. And I feel better as a result. The process goes something like this. There's a right and there's a wrong. And I say, this is what I believe about it. Now, the way that that weakens our faith is it puts I at the center and removes God from the center. We say, this is what I believe. And God is no longer in the center of our faith and our hope and our deliverance and our forgiveness. I am. And it makes our faith weak. Makes my faith weak. And the other thing that I think really affects us is just not understanding biblical faith. You know, the Bible teaches faith. And this is a relevant topic for what's going on in the world nowadays. There are so many bad things happening, right? I mean, really there is. It is heartbreaking. I mean, I don't even want to turn on the news because I don't know what city is going to be mentioned next, what bad thing's going to happen, what some crazy person has done, and how many people have been killed, and this is horrible. And what happens is people see all those terrible things that are happening in the world, and they say, if a good God would let things like this happen, I don't want to believe. I'm not going to believe in a God that would let things like this happen. And they don't put their faith and trust in Him because of the horrible things that we see in the world. And I get it. It's bad. And it's really bad when you have people who will do these horrible things, and they will kill and they will hate in the name of God. Oh my goodness. That's horrible. and think they're doing God a service. And that's not our God. Our God is not like that. It just really, you know, it really grieves me because, you know, our God is love. Our God is, he loves over people. He loves them so much he went to the cross for us. He died for us. He's not into killing people. His message is not hate. His message is not violence. It's not judgment because he judged Jesus Christ in our place. That's a beautiful, beautiful message. That's what we need to be rooted and grounded in. That's the strength of our soul. That's the strength of our heart and our mind. It's that first point in your outline there underneath those blanks. It says, faith is based on what God has promised in Christ. Man, that is the blessing that we have. And I was trying to figure out an illustration that would drive this home to you, that we are so completely complete in Jesus Christ. Just simple faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is an amazing gift that we have. And in doing some research and looking around, thought of this. Have you guys ever heard of the IKEA store? Has anybody ever been in an IKEA store? Those things are huge. I looked online and you can download a map for the IKEA store. I mean, so that you can get around in this place. And when I looked further, there were actually maps that were joking at how ridiculously huge the store is. They were joking about the size of this thing. You know, it's just incredible. And what they have is like furniture for everything, anything. There's food in there. I have heard that there are people that go into IKEA and never leave. That's why they have bedroom sets in there. It's a ridiculous thing. And then you buy these things. My mom had an IKEA. We inherited some of her IKEA furniture. And it is in pieces with tons of little things. If you've ever had to assemble one of these, you have to put it together. If you lose one of the pieces, you're sunk. There's no way. And her directions are like in Swedish. So how are we going to understand this thing? I mean, you've got to put this together. Here's the point. Our faith in Jesus Christ is not do it yourself. It's not assemble with instructions. Jesus comes complete without assembly, whole. Faith in Jesus Christ is no assembly required. It is a simple and beautiful truth that we are accepted, we are loved, we are forgiven, we are empowered, we are renewed in Jesus and Jesus alone. It is beautiful. The thing that we need to do is that second, the first blank on your outline, the point there, evaluate the foundation of your faith. You see, people are very well-meaning. And you'll hear things, I've heard things, I've said things. Like, I have faith because God answered my prayer. That's not good enough. That's simply not good enough. I have faith because I really wanted this job and I got it. It's not good enough. That's not going to sustain us. That's not going to keep us going. People will think that I have faith because, you know, every other stock funds, my retirement stock fund, all the other ones were down. Mine went up. That's not going to do it. If our faith is based upon how we feel, how our day's been, how things are going, that foundation is not firm enough to sustain us when we have guilt, when we have failures, when we have frustrations, and we have issues. Our faith needs to be connected to a deeper foundation than that, than to Jesus Christ. And you have faith, and I have faith, because Jesus died for our sins. That's why. And I can tell you, you know, we believe that Jesus walked on this earth, he claimed to be God, gave a ton of evidence as to who he was. He went to the cross to die for us, paid for our sins with his own life, and then rose from the dead victoriously. There was hundreds of witnesses that saw him before he went up to heaven, and that is such a powerful anchor of truth for us. It says in Colossians, just a couple verses before, it says that God has hidden in Jesus Christ all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They're all in Jesus. And we're anchored to him. We're tied to him through faith. It's wonderful. Here's a question. Let me leave you with a question. What can you expect from God? What can you expect from God? We can expect everything that he's promised and no more. He will do what he's promised to do. And it's very important for you and I, for me, to realize that God has not promised us that bad things are going to happen. They're going to happen in your life. You're going to have bad things and issues that come up. God has not promised to heal every one of your diseases. He has not promised to do that. He will, and it's great when he does, but not all of them. And it happens. A member of our church, Marsha Messman, went to the hospital last week. She asked me to share this with you, that she had a blockage in her bowels. They did an operation. She has very serious cancer, and they removed 75% of her bowels. Very serious. But, you know, I was visiting with her last night, and the faith, oh, it's a great testimony. You know, God has not promised that he is going to reverse every consequence of our sin or unwise decision. He hasn't promised that. Faith, I believe, is a response to who God is in Christ, what he's revealed in Christ, and what he's promised in Christ. That is really the roots. And we need to kind of sink our roots deep down into that to be anchored in that. I saw this story that I'd like to share with you. 6 years ago, in July 2010, there was this amateur treasure hunter, and he lives in the UK. He's a hospital chef, and he's out with his metal detector. Remember those? I saw a guy using one at the school 2 weeks ago, these metal detectors. Well, he's out hunting for treasures, and he finds treasure buried under the ground. It's 52,000 Roman coins going back to 200 AD. This stuff's almost 2,000 years old. And it has the stamp of an emperor on it. They can date this. They know the largest find, over 1 million pounds, the largest find of such ever found. And they dug it up. You know, it was in the ground. Nobody knew it was there. But the treasure was there. It was buried. It was there. And God, in his word, in our relationship of faith and trust with Jesus Christ, has treasure that you and I cannot even begin to imagine. It's awesome, powerful stuff. And he has called you and I into that relationship so that we could experience that and trust in that in our daily lives. It really excites me. It makes me very hungry to know that God has done this for us. He's actually given us the opportunity to know him in this way. It is amazing. And when you read the Word, you're going to see things in it. When you see God working in other people's lives, the Holy Spirit's going to give you understanding that God has promised you many wonderful things. He's going to guide you. And he does. He loves you. He's going to give you his presence and his encouragement. He's going to forgive your sins, strengthen you. All these things are wonderful realities of what it means to be rooted and grounded in Christ. I believe we had just scratched the surface of what it means to know God, and we know him through faith and trust in him. I pray that my roots and that your roots would grow really deep down into God. Can you imagine the people that we would be? Oh, praise God. It would be amazing. You know, God has so much in store for us. May God bless you and strengthen you and keep you in this faith. In Jesus' name, amen.